Two guests in the studio right now. Diane Dixon, who's the state project lead on Lot 14. The youngster by the name of Matthew Tetlow, who's the CEO of Innovert Technologies. Diane and Matthew, good afternoon and welcome on this this Monday. You're not going to be talking about the virus at all, are you, Diane?
No, we're not.
You're not? No. Okay, so we've got a half hour of virus-free.
Sounds good, doesn't
Sounds
it?
Sounds good. Now, first of all, ladies first, Diane, tell me about Lot 14, exactly what it, we've all heard about it, but apart from the fact that you're the CEO, you know all about it, most of us are thinking, is it airy-fairy? Does it work? What's it involved in? How does it operate?
So Lot 14 is a really great example of what I would call a real innovations and ideas precinct. There's examples of them all around the world.
Yeah.
But I've just moved here from Queensland just to work on this project because I've never seen one that's been so strongly led, has a really strong strategy around it, real funding commitment and things happening already. So to see a old hospital site that already has high-tech companies working in it is just incredible.
So what sort of things are you working on, Diane? Are you allowed to talk about it publicly or is it kept under wraps or what? How does it work?
Not at all. This is very much a community-focused neighbourhood in terms of an innovation precinct. It's focused on creating jobs for the future, skilling up our workforce and really growing global partnerships so that we can attract key tenants that are going to drive new business within the
And you've worked overseas. You've worked in the UK on a similar sort of a project?
In the UK, it was more sports infrastructure-based projects I worked on, but I've been in Queensland for the last 18 years after relocating and working on these sort of innovation hubs and precincts.
So the offer here in Adelaide and the facility was good enough to attract you down here from Queensland, 18 years and the years overseas, and you thought, no, they've got a bit going for them down there in Adelaide.
As I say, I've never seen an example of so much activity going on, such a fast pace and so much attraction of key partners like the Australian Space Agency, for example.
Okay, speaking of that, the other guest in the studio is Matthew Tetlow. Matthew, good afternoon and welcome. Nice to meet you.
Good afternoon.
Now, 8 years ago, you founded a company and the name of the company and what do you do?
Founded Innovor Technologies.
Innovor Technologies.
Yep, that's the one. So we basically build small satellites here in Adelaide, actually on Lot 14.
Yeah.
So we started off as a kind of a defence company. Mainly defence company, but it's basically sort of started to swing into space and now a large portion of our income is actually building satellites for people.
When you say building satellites for people, who do you build them for?
So we're building one for the CSIRO, we're building one for the DST Group and we're building one for the Department of Defence.
And these satellites are used to do what? I know it sounds like a dumb question, but you're involved in it every day. You know intimately what you're doing, but for myself and the listeners thinking, oh, yeah, okay, satellites, what are they used for?
So, I mean, I think, it's probably a very common question. So these are very small spacecraft. So they're the size of kind of a loaf of bread to a slab of beer, that sort of size spacecraft. So, you know, up to about 20 kilos. And depends on who the client is as to what the spacecraft does. So the one for the CSIRO, for example, that's a climate science type experiment. So it's collecting information that supports climate modelling and agriculture and those sorts of, community-focused issues. The Department of Defence ones are, one is a space traffic management one. So, you know, we have a lot of congestion in space. So the one is the spacecraft is looking away and detecting objects in space and tracking them and working out where they're going to be and if they're manoeuvring, how are they manoeuvring, where does that mean they're going to be in the future, all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other one is one that supports the over-the-horizon radar. So it's just sort of a calibration type experiment.
To be used for, say, civil aviation or purely for defence or what?
It's a defence. It's a defence calibration tool. I guess its application is wide, though, because they use it for, seeing what's over the horizon just north of us. So it's got a border security implication. It's got a defence implication, all sorts of things. So
is this the sort of technology you can sell overseas?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, you actually went to the University of Adelaide here, right? And then got a degree and then went where to work?
I did my degree here in Adelaide. I did a mechanical engineering degree and then I did a PhD in Stuttgart, Germany and at Adelaide Uni, kind of together, a joint PhD.
Yeah.
And then I came back to Adelaide and I was actually offered a job in Europe, but wanted to stay in Adelaide.
Wanted to come home effectively?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so basically just worked here. I was actually, my area of research is actually in launch vehicles, but that was sort of very under supported for a long, long time.
Now,
in
when
Australia.
You say launch vehicles, Matthew, what are you talking about?
I mean rockets. So
rockets.
My PhD was in a guidance system, so developing an advanced guidance system to get rockets into orbit using as little fuel as possible, essentially. But that sort of wasn't a lot, not a lot of interest in it in Australia. So I kind of moved to satellites about 8 years ago, 7-8 years ago. And then sort of there seems to be a lot of momentum in that area, so kind of kicked off a company and this is where we are kind of thing.
And it's going well?
Yeah, it's going very well. There's lots going on and lots of new people coming on board. It's great.
It's 1:39. One of our guests is Matthew Tetlow, who's the CEO of Innova Technologies, and Diane Dixon, who's the state project lead for Lot 14. Diane, will Lot 14... eventually, or has it, generate jobs here in South Australia? This is an overriding concern for probably everybody, the creation of jobs here.
And yes, I think that's always the main focus of these types of precincts. So it's not just about talking about bringing partners in and creating activity. It's about the real jobs. And that's where companies like Innovor, who have become part of the fabric of Lot 14, are really driving that. So within less than 2 years, we already have just over 600 people working at Lot 14 already. We have...
How many? 600?
Over 600 people are already working there. We have a startup incubator being operated by Stone and Chalk, who also operate the similar facilities in Melbourne and Sydney, but they have their largest operations now here at Lot 14, and they have over 140 companies. I'm sorry, over 140 resident startups and about 40 companies in that one facility, and that's in just one of the old heritage buildings at Lot 14.
How do you get the word out to overseas companies and those startup companies and tech companies especially that, okay, we exist in Adelaide, we're viable, we've got 600 people working, the facilities are good, come and have a talk to us, or do you have to go and have a talk to them to get them to be interested?
It's a combination of both. I think that's what's quite amazing about Lot 14. It's really being picked up on the global stage in terms of people recognising the type of work that's going on through our key companies, also because of the presence of the universities and their activity within the precinct already. The universities themselves are our prime sort of links to a lot of that academic and research work that's happening around the world, and how do we bring that here to Adelaide to actually have those research projects happening here and then attract the businesses around them that are going to gain value.
Diana, when you say universities, are you talking about just the universities here in Adelaide, here in South Australia, or you're talking about universities interstate and overseas that get involved?
We're talking right the way through. So our MIT Living Lab that we already have at Lot 14 is an example of that international university partnerships. So actually creating a data analytics hub at Lot 14, we're actually looking at key challenges that the city and the region has, and actually using those partnerships with researchers at MIT based at Lot 14 to actually come up with some of those solutions.
Diane, do you do any medical research at all? I've been banging on for weeks now, not that anybody takes any notice. I've said South Australia should be turned into the medical research centre of at least Southeast Asia. You'd only have to come up with a cure for cancer, for multiple sclerosis, for Huntington's, and it would be worth squillions and trillions of dollars. Do you do any medical research at all?
Not at Lot 14.
Not yet, maybe?
Not yet. We have medical technology type companies, but I would say that's where Adelaide has this real strength of having a range of innovation hubs. So we have SAMRI at the other end of North Terrace that's doing a lot of work in that medical research space.
And you cooperate with them and help them and vice versa?
So the state government has a really strong focus in making sure all of those innovation hubs and districts are complementary and work together and actually look at how we can come together. So there may be in the future a lot of opportunities for our, particularly our creative industries, our use of technologies, the work that's going on in data analytics at Lot 14 to be applied in the medical space as well.
Matthew, the space technology, I mean, are we still catching up? I mean, you just imagine that the mob in America are way ahead of us, and perhaps even the Chinese and the Russians. Are we catching up? Or, I mean, is there a real quid to be made from a South Australian point of view with space technology and innovation?
Yeah, I mean, I think we definitely are catching up. So there's, I guess, two reasons for us. The first one is, you know, the traditional space of these large, very expensive government program space industries, these sort of legacy organisations, I suppose, are kind of changing to this new commercial, sort of small consumer-type space application or spacecraft. So there's the shift. We have the disadvantage that we don't have the heritage from all the traditional space infrastructure that's been developed over, you know, the last decades. So we, in that respect, we're kind of a little bit behind the eight ball. But because the industry's changed a bit, we kind of come in at it from a different angle, different perspective, I suppose. And I think we're really embracing this sort of small consumer grade commercial type application for the space industry, and I think we've got real opportunity here to leapfrog and get in front of everybody else. I mean, our technology in particular is different to the way it's done overseas by our competitors, and I think it's different. We think it's better, and I guess time will tell if it actually is better, because when we're competing on a level playing field, we'll hopefully be capturing a lot of the market and bringing it here to Australia.
An email from Steph, and she says, I hope the young gentleman in there with you, Pilco, that's Matthew, you're talking about Steph, I hope he doesn't think this is a rude question, but is his company, Innovor Technologies, is it financially successful at the moment? Are you making a quid, I suppose, is what Steph is asking.
Well, we've employed one person a month for the last year.
Really?
So we've grown from 15 to 30 people over a year.
So you're making a quid, you're doing all right.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes. I mean, the difference is here, we're not talking about being, just sort of VC backing and then sort of saying that the customers will come. Ours is all customers. We basically have three customers buying spacecraft from us at the moment.
And, really?
And looking at all sorts of opportunities. Absolutely, yep.
For those of us not involved, if you were to say, oh, there's a company in Adelaide actually selling space technology and satellites to overseas mobs, you'd say, oh, yeah, what have you been smoking? Yeah. Ian wants to know, he said, he's the young gentleman. They keep referring to you, young gentleman.
I'm impressed that
how about that?
They can't see me.
He said, is his company listed on the stock exchange at all?
No, it's a privately owned, South Australian-owned company.
Will you have to list eventually to get the necessary financial backing to expand and become really big?
Yeah, I mean, all options are on the table, I suppose. In the space industry, flight heritage is a key thing. So flight heritage is usually paid for by departments of defence or space agencies and those sorts of entities that get you into space. Once your technology is proved in space, then you go commercial and then you sort of start selling spacecraft to much bigger players around the world, commercial kind of ventures. And in that instance, we'll be looking for all sorts of investment opportunities. I mean, there are a number of them, listing or getting a VC backing or, patient investors, whatever you like.
But and that's when you buy a harbour home in Sydney and move to Los Angeles, okay, all that sort of thing.
Adelaide's the place for me. I'm quite happy here, thanks.
Diane, a question from Heather. She said, the lady you mentioned that there were 600 people employed. Are they from overseas and are they all of high quality, high-tech jobs that you're talking about?
The majority are in space, cyber and defence companies. And also the mix that's pretty much the majority mix that we have in the startup innovation area as well.
Are they local?
The jobs
from overseas?
They're all local at the moment.
Are they?
There are some where there's work going on with students or international partners. There's obviously those partners who are locating themselves at Lot 14. But the initial surge in interest in companies and occupancy within the heritage buildings has been predominantly locally driven.
All right. If you have a question for either Diane or for Matthew, by all means, give us a ring, 822-3000. The email is on air at 5AA.com.au. It's just a little after 1:45 now.
For the first time anywhere in the world, Sesame Street Circus Spectacular is coming to Adelaide. Enjoy the fun and laughter of the circus with Elmo and a cast of international circus stars from Switzerland, Argentina, Morocco, Colombia, Ethiopia and Australia. With glamour and daring will leave you on the edge of your seat. There's a Wheel of Steel, Motorcycle Mania and so much more. Appearing Bonython Park, 27th of March to the 26th of April. Book at Ticketmaster.
North Point Toyota are passionate about supporting local communities. One organisation they support is Girl Guides SA. CEO Kerry Ackermans tells us more.
The support we receive from North Point Toyota is so important. They supply us with a RAV4, allowing us to visit our campsites and units around the state, empowering girls and young women to grow into confident, self-respecting community members.
North Point Toyota supporting local community. It's the North Point Way. Hillcrest, Prospect, Jebb's Cross and Port Augusta.
For 106 years, Red Cross has been there. When we faced a summer of fire, your generosity kept us going. But there's still work to do and help to be given. We'll be there no matter what. Red Cross is calling. Find out more at redcross.org.au.
Yeah, great organisation, Red Cross. It's 2:13. If you're thinking about retirement living, the first step is to have a talk to Roxanne from Lifestyle SA. Now, 5 minutes on the phone with Roxanne, and you'll know everything that you need to know about retirement living. Things like finance and exit fees and maintenance fees and what you can and and what you can't afford. There's 11 Lifestyle SA villages all over Adelaide. So right now, they've got some really lovely 2 and 3 bedroom homes that are available, and the current prices make them extremely reasonable. The villages have all got manicured gardens and heated pools and a gymnasium, and there's great activities like walking groups and lawn bowls and snooker and croquet and lots of other social functions, and you're sure to make lots of new, really enjoyable friends. Residents just love the security and the peace of mind of being part of a close-knit community, but don't leave it until it's too late. How often do you hear people say, oh, I should have made the move into a retirement village a long, long time ago? Look, give Roxanne a call and find out what you need to know. In 5 minutes on the phone with Roxanne, she'll answer all of your questions, the questions about finance and exit fees and maintenance fees and what you can and can't afford. Roxanne today on 81 25 4100. That's 81 25 4100, or easier still, simply go to lifestylesa.com.au.
It's incredible. Over 90% of tickets in the Hospital Research Home Lottery have already been sold. Don't miss your chance to win one of two stunning Scott Salisbury homes, the Ultimate City or Coast Lifestyle, mortgage-free. With over 17,000 prizes up for grabs, you've got a 1 in 12 chance of winning. Order your tickets now to join the fight for cures and improving care in South Australia's hospitals. Visit homelottery.com.au.
Licence 13777.
Sound connects us to people and to places, like the sound of friendship or the sound of home. Rediscover the sounds you love with Hearing Australia. Take our free online hearing check at hearing.com.au. It takes just 10 minutes and could change your life.
Hi, Deb Doward, Principal of St Andrew's School, SA's leading independent primary school. We never underestimate the power of wonder. It's what inspires our students and our educators. Join me on our Principal's Tour of St Andrew's School this Thursday at 9 a.m. or 4 p.m. If you're wondering what St Andrew's School can offer your child, I'd love to see you. For more information, just Google St Andrew's School. St Andrew's School, where bright futures begin.
Here's some sharp advice for you. If you've got a 3-star gas hot water service, you know what that means? Means it's old. You're paying probably 3 times as much as you should. So call Sharp Energy Hub and start saving thousands. Because if you don't, you won't save thousands. Sharp Energy Hub.
Macular degeneration is Australia's leading cause of blindness. If you're over 50, have an eye test and macular check. Early detection is vital. You can have the very early signs without even knowing. Information, guidance and support is only a phone call away. Call the Macular Disease Foundation on 1-800-111-709 for a free macular degeneration information kit.
Scraped your caravan? Walker Crash Caravan Repairs. Easy insurance repairs, fast. This is Tony Pilkington.
And Diane Dixon, who's the state project lead for Lock 14 here in Adelaide, and Matthew Tetlow, who's the CEO of Innovore Technologies, are our guests this afternoon as we talk all things technological. Brendan, where are you? At Tranmere. Brendan, good on you. Thank you for the call. Welcome. How are you?
Yeah, hi, Pilko. I have a question for Diane.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is there an avenue, if you like, for local technology support industries to make themselves known to the companies existing and coming into Lot 14? There's a lot of people out here who do a lot of things, mechanical, electronic, smaller companies that have a lot of experience. I'm thinking something like you walk into a flight centre and there's a wall full of brochures for things. I mean, is there somewhere we can have our presence seen for the tenants to know that we exist?
Yeah, sure, Brendan. There's probably a variety of ways coming directly through to myself and the team that are working on coordinating everything across the whole precinct is a way for us just to be able to communicate messages. We're very conscious of trying to make Lot 14 part of the fabric of the whole community. So any way that we can support other businesses through supply chain opportunities through our tenants, but also potentially through other companies knowing that they can come in and have a presence within Lot 14 as well is a key opportunity. So I'd welcome you to reach out to myself or equally through Renewal SA, who are managing the actual construction work and the tenancy work in the heritage buildings at the moment.
Well, I'd very much like to have a chance to discuss things with you. Am I able to get an email address, or how do I make an appointment to see you?
I'm happy for you to leave your details, and then I can be in contact with you, and we can definitely sort that out for myself or someone from the team.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've been in the industry here. I used to work for ITR and DSTO and all those people as a contractor doing high-density, high-speed printed circuit board design. I spent the last 11 years in the US doing that in Silicon Valley, but I'm back here now, and I want to continue to do so.
Well, there's probably be a great opportunity to just let you know the sort of companies as well, and if there's any relevant introductions, we can make those.
And yeah, Brendan, keep in mind where you first got the opportunity, and who was the bloke that actually put you through? You know, just keep us in mind.
Phil, when Philco, you're in my will already, mate.
All right,
Basil Philco.
Okay, so when you become the Apple version of Adelaide, Brendan, just keep us in mind. That's Brett with a similar sort of a question for you, Diane. He said, "How do you decide as to what companies you'll take on, what projects you'll get involved in, and who you'll actually sit down and talk to? What are the qualifications? What are the ticks for you?"
And that's a really good question, and that really makes the difference between how these hubs either achieve their vision and actually produce something for the communities around them or not. To have really niche opportunities, and hence why Lot 14 is focused particularly in the areas of space, defence, technologies and creative industries, is because that's where we do have some core strengths that are globally in the global areas of expertise. And so not only do we make sure that we're only bringing companies in that can add value, that we can actually support in a meaningful way, but they're also those companies that can work with our tenants that are already in. So Matt's company, Innovore, are a good example of that in terms of their strong relationship with universities, and also the fact that they can then look at how they can work with other tenants across the site. So we do have a selection criteria of sorts to make sure that not only are the companies going to gain value for being in Lot 14, but also that they're going to add value to the fabric that's already emerging. And it may well be that there's other innovation parks within South Australia that companies should go to. So it's also, again, about being complementary and supporting other precincts that we have.
Okay. Matthew, question for you. This is from Phyllis, who sends us an email on air at 5AA.com.au. Will Matthew see, can he envisage that his company will only be developing military technology in years to come, because countries all over the world, especially the United States and China, with their budgets, spend billions and billions of dollars on defence technology. Can you see that, in fact, becoming the main part of your business?
No, I would say that's not the main part of our business. I mean, at the initially, when the technology is young, defence is a good avenue to provide funding, because they want, you know, future capabilities. Yeah, so we'll kind of get over the line with them. But, you know, going forward, we would see much bigger markets. You know, well, first of all, for one thing, defence is not a, it's not as, there's only a few clients in defence. You can imagine there are only a couple of divisions that you could sell satellites to. But if you then open it up to the commercial angles, there's, you know, logistics, there's agriculture or technology in the agriculture area. There's all sorts of different areas, commercial ones, that are far more lucrative, much bigger markets. And we certainly would target the commercial, international commercial market far more than our defence.
So effectively, more money to be made commercially than on defence. We hear of these enormous budgets of the Chinese and the Americans, and to a lesser extent the Russians, and we think, oh, well, that's the way technology will be heading, especially a young company like yours in the start-up phase.
Well, no, I mean, I think something, these numbers may not be exactly right, but I think in 1976, more than 80% of the money spent in space was from government. In 2010 or something, it was the opposite. It was like 75% of the money was commercial money. So there's certainly a shift away from these, you know, agency-type investment pools to actual commercial outcomes. I mean, you know, like companies like Mariota in Lot 14 with us are another group. They've raised money. They've got customers all over the world selling their satellite technologies all over the world, and they are... sort of certainly one of the up-and-coming companies.
So many of us here in Adelaide have got no idea what the hell you're doing down there at Lot 14 and how successful it is. Diane, if somebody wants to actually get in touch with you and put a proposal up, or just sit down and have a yak and see if they're eligible to become part, how do they go about that?
So at the moment it would be through myself via the DPC team that are managing Lot 14's development. So through our website, there's a Lot 14 website that you can come through. We are very conscious, and I think that's because of the construction type feel to Lot 14 at the moment. So over the next couple of months, all of that work along North Terrace will be complete. And that we really hope
God
will really
that.
Change the face, and that'll mean that the community really can come in and find out, meet with us all down
so
there, what's going on.
Can people actually wander through eventually Lot 14 and and have a sticky beak through the window and see what the hell you're doing?
It's not a case of even sticky beaking. We're actually actively encouraging the community already. The community can come in, and there's actually the ground floor of the old Allied Health building that is operated by Stone and Chalk is a community-focused level of the building.
So you can actually go and have a sticky beak?
You can, and you can walk through, and we're very much about activation. And as we go forward, particularly this year, we'll try and improve the fact that these precincts always become the community's best-kept secret. It's there for the community, so there'll be a lot of activation so people can feel comfortable about coming in, seeing what's going on, and hopefully be part of it.
So it's not locked behind closed doors with guards all over the place and, you know...
Not at all. I mean, obviously, because of the sectors we're working in, some of those areas are very restricted, but we're very much trying to... And things like the Space Discovery Centre, which will open middle of next year, that's about actively bringing people in to have that space experience and learn about the companies that are also operating. And then also our next wave of projects like the Aboriginal Art and Culture Centre, the Innovation Entrepreneurial Centre, and the International Centre for Food, Hospitality and Tourism Studies.
God, you can't wear everything.
There's $650 million worth of Australian government funding committed to these projects happening, so it's really going to change the
Diane
landscape.
And Matthew, thank you for coming in. Nice to have met you both. Congratulations on the work that you do and continued success.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
It's a couple of minutes to two.